Nehemiah chapter 1 is where we're going to be. Nehemiah chapter 1 is where we are going to be. We're actually going to look at the whole thing. And Brother Robert did message on Nehemiah. He went through the whole book. And so I'm not going to do that today. Don't worry. And so we're just going to do chapter 1. So I got a lot of notes from him during that time as well. And so, you know, when you got a whole book of sermons here, you know, and so you got to take a look and see, okay, where are we at? What is needed? Lord, guide my direction, you know. We don't just, at least I don't anyway, it's just open it up and, you know, it flops open and put your finger down and, you know, there you go. And that's the message for today. And so hopefully that's not what gets done. And so, Nehemiah chapter 1, entitled this morning's message, Are You a VIP? Businessman was asked about his feelings toward his competitor up the street. And there was, he said, there's nothing in the world I wouldn't do for old Bill. And he said, and there's nothing he wouldn't do for me. That's kind of the way we are. And we go through life doing nothing for each other. You know, we kind of laugh, you know, but it's kind of sad. Truth is, that's somewhat reality in our day. Today, we really don't care to do much of anything for anybody. Convinced that that's the problem in our day. It's not so much that we hate one another. It's just that we're indifferent towards one another. We just don't care, it seems like. We don't want to get involved. And so the ask me if I care attitude has spread like wildfire, I think, in our day today. And leaving in its path death on our streets, divorce in our homes, and disease in our churches as well. The I just don't care attitude. Not my problem. Not my circus, not my monkeys. There you go. You see, and just on and on it goes. And so leave me alone. Don't bother me. I've got my own problems in life. Many of us have learned to deal with the world's lack of compassion. Go to DMV. You'll see. But God help us if we get used to it in the Lord's churches as well. Find a lack of compassion. Most of the world goes to work simply to put in time, do they not? They go and they clock in, they clock back out, and that's it. Don't bother me. I'm gone. I'm done. And all I want to do is just put in my time. And that's it. Church members are called more than just to come in and put in time on Sunday mornings. And if you're Baptist, Wednesday nights as well. We got to do more than just punch the clock and say, okay, I was here from 11 to 12, 12:30, depending on who's preaching. And so, but we must care for one another. Not just come together, but care for one another. We ought to care enough to offer tenderness and trust and truthfulness toward one another in this place. And so, as good Baptists, we can quote the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But do we care enough to live out the Great Command where Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you? Where are those who care enough to get involved? Now, not just talking about ushering and singing in the choir and helping out in the nursery. And so those things, yes, we need to be involved in some of those things as well. But beyond that, I'm talking about caring enough to get involved in others' lives as well. Are you a VIP, a very involved person? That's the VIP, a very involved person. We're not to be the important person. That's Jesus' position. Okay? And so he's with us here today. And so that's his position. But are you a very involved person? Nehemiah 1 introduces us to a very involved person. Nehemiah didn't get involved because he was the preacher. He didn't get involved because he was the deacon. Nehemiah was simply a butler who cared about the need of his people and the glory of his God. So he got involved. Let's do a little context about the setting here that we find Nehemiah to help us understand about his caring attitude that he had with a short history lesson. The Jewish people were taken into captivity by the Babylonians, destroyed the temple, those things, and carried them off into captivity. 70 years later, the Persians defeated the Babylonians and allowed about 50,000 of them to return to the beloved city of Jerusalem. Immediately upon their return, they began to rebuild the temple. They were so excited, and they got the foundation laid, and they had a revival service then that night. And everybody was excited. They laid the foundation, and there it was. But then immediately after that, it wasn't long, and you know, the opposition came, and they got discouraged. They got distracted by their own desires as well, and so they quit. They quit on the temple. There's the foundation. And so day after day, week after week, they were going along in about their business, you know, and they were actually building their own houses and getting those things luxuriously built and those type of things. And so they would walk by the foundation and think, I don't care. Not my problem. Somebody needs to get started on that. That was the attitude in which they had. And so God sent Haggai and Zechariah to challenge the people to get back to work and build the temple, those two prophets. And in fact, Haggai was the one who came to them. They were having problems and suffering. And he said that, well, your bag's got holes in it, is what he said. He says, whatever we put in our bag of money, you know, that we save, we work, and we put it in the bank, and it's got holes in it because it just leaks right out the bottom. And he says, well, that's because God's house is sitting over there, and you're worried about yourself over here. You've got the I don't care attitude about God and His work. So they got back to work, and they built the temple. In 4 years, the temple was completed. 60 years later, another group returned to Jerusalem under the leadership of Ezra. And now after, you know, that time frame there, after they built the temple, then apathy began to set in. Again, because the enemy kept coming in, and the opposition was there and distracted them through all of the things that they had as well. So discouragement and distraction, on and on it became. And then they got involved in their own things again and said, I know that the temple is over there. I know that it's been built. And you walk past it and say, you know, I should probably go, but I don't care. I've got this to do, and I've got that to do, and too many things to do. And so they just didn't have any caring attitude at all. Now, some 90 years later, after the first group went back to Jerusalem, we find that the walls of the city still are not rebuilt. It was the walls of the city that God had instructed Moses, we're going to find out in a moment here, to build around the city. This in the temple, when the time come, that he gave the plans out as well, that the city was to be built. It was part of their worship service as well. Well, the gates and the different things, but it was also added to protection, and it showed the world, it told the world that that is God's city right there. That's God's people that dwell inside of those walls. But they said, I don't care. Day after day, they walked around, you know, and the opposition kept coming and said, you know, if we had walls built here, it wouldn't be this way. But I don't really care about doing it myself. And so, but somebody needs to fix that. But here was a butler who cared, and that was all that God needed. The book of Nehemiah shows us that God can do great things with those who care enough to get involved. Care enough to get involved. Chapter 1 reveals Nehemiah's caring attitude in four different ways. Therefore, I want to ask you four questions to see whether or not you care enough to get involved. Do you care enough to get involved as well? How do you know if you are a VIP person, that is a very involved person? Look with me at verses 1 and 2. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and I probably butchered that, and it came to pass in the month of Kislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, and Hanani, one of the brethren, came, and he and a certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, that is gone back, that were let go and sent back there, or allowed to go back, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. He said, so I asked. Nehemiah was a man of great position. Nehemiah is a man in the king's palace, is what we're told here as well in verse 1. And so he had the easy job of testing the king's wine before each meal to make sure it wasn't poisoned. And so now they don't test for poison like we do today. You know, you put it in something and, you know, you test it through this and that and microscopes and so forth as well. Back then, you tasted it. You drank it yourself. Somewhat of an easy job until that one glass is now poisoned. And so you're out of a job. There you go. And so he was known as the king's cupbearer, which meant that Nehemiah had some influence with the king, because every time the king ate, you know, he and had wine, Nehemiah had to go, and Nehemiah had to drink it down, and the king would wait. See if he fell over. See if he died. And then the king wouldn't drink it, and he'd just get himself another cupbearer. There you go. They're expendable. That's why he was using Nehemiah. And so, but Nehemiah probably had some influence with the king. He was probably well-to-do financially as well. Lived there in the palace, and I had a nice place to live. Jerusalem was hundreds of miles away. It'd been years since he'd been there, about 90 years or so. It would have been easy for him to turn a blind eye when he saw his brethren from Jerusalem come back. But we read in verse 2, and it says, "And he and a certain men of Jerusalem, and I asked them." You see, they didn't come back and say, Nehemiah, you need to understand about what's going on back in Jerusalem. Nehemiah saw them, and he run up to them with a caring heart. He was a very involved individual. And he says, "Tell me about what's going on back in Jerusalem. I want to know what's going on with God's people, God's city. What is God doing there?" So he went and he asked them about God's people, God's place. So why did he ask? Because, I guess I missed that. I didn't give you that clue, did I? There you go. Do you have a concern for God's people? Do you have a concern for God's people? Nehemiah had a concern for God's people. And so Nehemiah asked them about God's people and God's place. So why did he ask? Because Nehemiah was a man of great concern. Not only was he very influential with the king, but he's more concerned about God's people and what God is doing. You know, some believers prefer not to ask what's going on because information might bring obligation. If I find out you got a problem, well, now what do I do? Do I try to help? Therefore, I don't ask how it's going on, and I won't have to help you out as either. And so we come in here and we ask sometimes, are you guilty of this as well? You ask, how's it going? How you doing today? And so, well, if you're like me, I just say, fine, and I move on. What happens to that one that says, well, let me tell you, you know, it was a bad night. I couldn't help but think about the loved one that had passed away. And you know, it was just a terrible night. And you're thinking, you know, I really got to get going. You know, I got this to do and that to do and on and on. And so you're thinking about those things. You're not even listening. Why? Because we don't care. We've gotten to that point, have we not? To even in the church, we don't even want to know. We're hoping that we're going to get the answer. I'm fine. Nehemiah said, hey, how's it going? Tell me, how's it going? Nehemiah asked about Jerusalem and the Jews because he had a caring heart. He had a caring heart. You know, when we truly care about people, we want to know the facts, no matter how painful it might be. We're going to want to know the truth. We're going to want to help if we're caring people. We can't afford to close our ears and our eyes to the needs of others in this place. What kind of church are we going to have then? You know, when if that's the case, you know, if we're going to just close our eyes and our ears, then we might as well close up the doors and go on home. If we're not going to care for one another, we've got nothing that the world would want. They could find it all out there. But we're to be different. We're to be caring individuals. We're to be involved in one another's lives as well. Not just come in and put in the time and then leave and go back out. May we learn from Nehemiah that position in life is never to take the place of people. And that God places us in certain positions so that we can get involved in other people's lives as well. Every member of this church has been placed here for a reason, and that reason is to get involved. To get involved with the saints, to get involved in the services, to get involved in sharing the gospel message outside these walls as well. Do you care enough to be concerned for God's people? Are you a very involved person? Yes, I care about others here. I care when they're not here. And I care what's going on in their lives. What might the issue be? They care. How do you know if you're a VIP? Well, you'll have a concern for God's people. Second, Let me ask you this. How do you know if you're a VIP? Do you cry about the poor condition of God's place? Do you cry about it? Does it break your heart sometimes? In the condition of God's house, God's people, sometimes? Look at verse 3 and 4. Notice he says here, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days." Nehemiah cared enough to ask. The answer he received was not a pretty picture. It was one of ruin and reproach. Without the walls and the gates, the city was open to attacks and ridicule and scorn, and that's exactly what was going on by those round about them as well. The same thing would happen here as well. If we don't have a concern to get involved in other people's lives, if we don't mourn about the condition of the church, and you know, why aren't the pews filled and the positions filled in the church as well? You see, what's going to happen is we too will become ridiculed, mocked, and opposition will come right on through the doors. See, it's like living without the walls around. You see, it's like a house without any doors on the hinges. Folks just come right on into Jerusalem there. And so it broke his heart. Broke his heart so much that he knelt down and he wept and he mourned. Certain days, several days, he mourned. I mean, this really got to him. It really bothered him. Why? Because he was a very involved person. He cared. He cried. If Nehemiah was a typical Christian, he might have responded with, you know, when they said, you know, the city's being ridiculed and opposition is coming in and the enemy's coming in. He might have responded, well, you know, that's just too bad. Tell them I'll be praying for them. Yeah. Don't they know better than to sit around and do nothing? Isn't that a lot of our excuses sometimes? We say, hey, we need this worker, we need that worker, you know, chapel, nursery, here and there, Sunday school, you know, greeters, this and that and the other, office people, and on, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. You say, well, no, I'll be praying about that. I'll get back to you. One man said, the problem with believers today is that there's too much talk and not enough tears. Nehemiah's heart was broken because God's people had given up and God's place was unfinished. Why did it bother him? Because he had a heart to see God glorified through his people and it wasn't happening. You see, there is so much that can be done here as well at Marsh Road Baptist. But we have to have folks that are very involved in the work here. It takes more than just one or two. It takes more than just coming in and sitting down. It involves caring for one another. Get involved in their lives as well. Our walk with the Lord ought to move us to the point that it breaks our heart when we know that God's work is not moving forward. That ought to break our heart. Amen. Cold is the heart that is not touched by the lack of faithfulness among God's people to walk and worship and work and witness for Him. We just kind of leave it undone. Nehemiah couldn't get around it. It bothered him because he was a very involved individual. Do we care more about missing a day at work than a service at church? I said, now you've gone too far. Do we get more upset about a scratch on the car or a lost soul going to hell? Which bothers us more, I wonder. Why aren't our hearts broken over the current condition of this church and her struggles in which she has as well? How come we're not? How come that doesn't bother us like it should? It should because don't we serve a great God? Is not God able to do the impossible? Well, it's not impossible with God. It is with us. But, you know, and God can do great things. And it's not the fact that, you know, we need to pack out the pews and we need to have this done. But what we need to do is to have involved people. Involved in one another's lives. Caring for one another, concerned for one another, broken about the condition of God's place here as well. And so what has happened to our burden to see God's work go forward? Do you care enough to cry about the poor condition of God's place? Nehemiah did for days on end. How do you know if you're a VIP? Well, you'll have a concern for God's people. You'll cry about the poor condition of God's place. And then let me ask you this. If you're a VIP, you'll call out to God in prayer. You call out to God in prayer about it as well. Nehemiah, take a look. See what we find here. Verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And so there you go. Nehemiah asked a question. He received a very disturbing answer. But did you notice his action? He didn't walk away thinking, well, there's nothing that I can do. It's too far away. The king is never going to let me go. You know, and it's a problem there that I don't have the funds, the resources to do anything about it. I'm just one man. How can I rebuild the walls? And so because they're not doing it. And so there's nothing I can do. I'm just one person 100 miles away. No, Nehemiah cared enough to pray. He got involved in praying as well. And he wasn't even in church. You see, some people pray outside of church. Nehemiah was one of those. It was just him and God. He didn't go to the king. You know, he could have gone to the king right off the bat. Right smack right there, gone to the king. And the king could have said, hey, I'll send troops over with you, you know, and all the stuff that you need and so forth and so on. Or he said, don't bother me. The king could have said, don't bother me with that stuff. And you're out of here. You're gone because I don't need that negativity around me. You know, just forget it. Nehemiah knows that God is the one who can overcome the problem. So he went to God. He went above the king and went to God. You see, he went straight to the top is what he did. And he began to pray certain days. And he fasted and prayed. And there he is. You know, he's on his knees. His heart is broken. Tears are just coming down his face, you see. And he's just concerned about the city and God's people. And they're not moving forward. They're not doing what needs to be done there. And it just broke his heart. And so he begins to pray. And there's nothing. He realized that nothing that God cannot do. And so I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray about this situation. God can handle the situation and help His saints carry out the work. So he got busy on his knees. Songwriter wrote this, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We have to care enough to get involved. Let me ask you this, how often do you pray for this church? How often do you pray for this church? Oh, Lord, fill the pews. Oh, Lord, we need this person and that person. We need this position filled. We need that position filled. And Lord, call somebody to do that. But do we pray about the needs of the church? We need a pastor. Are we praying about that already? We have to care enough to get involved in prayer. Three things you need to learn from Nehemiah's prayer. First of all, we need to continue to give God the praise. We need to continue to give God praise. Look with me in verse 5. And said, this is his prayer, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. You see what he's doing here? He's saying, God, You are faithful. You're faithful to keep Your word. You're faithful to keep Your promises. Lord, I know that You promised the city. I know that You promised, you know, to supply all of our needs. And so, Lord, I praise You for who You are because when You make a promise, You stick with it. You keep it. It's easy for us to look at, you know, for pity when things are going bad. Oh, Lord, why is this happening to our church? Lord, why is this happening to me? Lord, I don't understand. Why do we have to go through this? Rather than praise God for who He is and what He can do about the situation. Because, okay, this is gone. It's over in the past. Now, Lord, what's next? Because I know who You are, and I know what You can do, and I know what it's going to be something big, it's going to be something great, and it's coming down the pike because that's who You are. Are we praying? Do we care enough to pray? Call out to God and give Him praise? You see, our situation changes, but our Savior's love for us never changes. Our situations do. Perhaps they change to drive us back to our knees and have a burden for who He is and what He wants to do in our lives. And so Nehemiah's prayer, see, we have to continue to give God praise in the situation. He's brokenhearted about what was going on, but he says, oh God, and then we have to confess our sin is part of the problem. Look at verse 6. Notice what he says, verse 6 and 7. He says to God, he just, verse 5, he just gets finished praising God for who He is and for keeping His promises and for being the covenant maker and the one who supplies mercy, you know, to those who need it. You see, and then he gets to verse 6, let thine ear now be attentive. Listen up. That's what he's saying. Listen to me, Lord, please. And that eyes be open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. And he says in verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Nehemiah didn't blame God for the shape that his people was in. He didn't blame God for the situation that was there in the city, you know, with the walls that are still crumbled down, and that there were still captives from Jerusalem in over here in captivity as slaves and servants over here. And so he didn't blame God on all of that stuff. Nehemiah didn't put all the blame on God's people. Note the word in verse 6. He says, which we have sinned against thee. He says, he included himself into that boat. And so verse 5, he says, God, we know that you're the covenant maker. You're the one who keeps your word. We broke the promise. We broke the covenant. We turned our back on you. And as a result, you allowed the Babylonians to come in and destroy it, flatten out the whole city. And so, but now we still aren't getting back to serving you in the way in which we should. We still live in sin because the walls are still in ruins round about, and we don't care. We turned our back on you, but Lord, we know that you are the God who's the covenant keeper, and if you said that if we will do this, you'll bless. And if we choose not to follow through, if we choose not to get involved, then hardship is coming our way. Consequences of that will come our way. And he says, that's what's going on. That's what was going on, because they didn't want to get involved in the work of God. And so he continues to give God praise. He confesses sin as the problem that was going on there. But we have to count on God to keep His promises. We have to count on God to keep His promises. I know it's kind of small up there, but it's found in verse 8, 9, and 10. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. It's exactly what God did. He scattered them about. He said, in your transgression and your sin, you watch what will happen. I'll scatter you about, is what God says. Follow me, you'll stay together, I'll bless you, and the whole of the world will see that you are my people following after me because you're involved in me and my work. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were you, this is a tongue twister, and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. God says, if you disobeyed, you gave up on my work and you didn't follow through, you didn't want to get involved, and so I scattered you about. But God says, I promise, if that happens, if that comes to pass, then and you turn back to me, and you start getting involved once again in that relationship that I want with you. Get involved in keeping my commandments. Get involved in worshiping me. He said, I will gather you back together. Because that's the promise that God made. That's what God said. Nehemiah is simply reminding God, or himself as well, to not get discouraged, but encouraged, because this is what God promised. And then he says in verse 10, "Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand." Nehemiah knew that what God says, he does. What God says, he does. You can count on God to discipline you when you disobey his word, but you can also trust God's promise that God will bless you if you obey his word as well. Remember, no matter the problem, the prayer is always available. God will forgive. God will restore. God will rebuild as well. Do you care enough to call out to God in prayer? Lastly, we find in verse 11, how do you know if you're a VIP? Well, first of all, you'll have a concern for God's people. You'll get involved in one another's lives. You'll get involved in the service. You'll get involved in sharing the gospel. You'll cry about the poor condition of God's place as well, whether it be the physical building, whether it be the services that need to be, or get involved in the people's lives as well, and the people that are suffering as a result of the world and illnesses and things. But it'll break your heart for God's people and God's place, and you'll call out to God in prayer. You get involved in the lives, and then we see, are you committed to participate in God's plan? Too often we get into trouble because we plan our own projects and then we ask the Lord to bless it. That's where we get into trouble. God, I'm going to do this for you. You're going to be so pleased with me. And I just want you to put your stamp of approval right on that. That's what I want. I want you to bless it. Now, yes, I might end up making some money out of it, but I just want you to bless it. That's what I want. Verse 11, he says, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper." Lord, what we want is we desire to serve you. Lord, we desire to prosper in the plans that you have for us, to be the nation that you want us to be. Is that the way that we're praying as well? Lord, I want everything to be about you. I'm going to commit to this, this desire that you've placed in my heart, I want to follow through on. That's what I want. And he says, and I'll gather, verse 11, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." He's getting ready to go before the king. And he says, "God, I need your plan to unfold here. I want you to lead me and guide me. I'm committed to whatever it is that you want for my life to see that your city, your place is restored. It is rebuilt so that it's not a ridicule among the nations anymore. So that it becomes a strong witness for you. That your name is honored and glorified in that place." Do we have that same commitment? Marsh Road Baptist Church as well. That I am committed to whatever it takes. I am committed wholeheartedly to participate in God's plan that He has for me in this place, regardless of what it might be at all. You mean nursery? Sunday school? Really? You understand what Nehemiah is doing? God, whatever it is, I'm committed to it. I'll do it. Too often, we want to do our own thing and ask God to bless it. But he was committed to participate in God's plan. Nehemiah looked into the work of God. And so he sat down, he wept, he knelt down and prayed. And then he stood up and he went to work, knowing that God would bless the burden on his heart. He said, "I've got this desire, this burning desire to see the walls rebuilt, to see the city restored." God put that desire in his heart. And he says, "God, I will commit to this desire that you've placed in my heart. Whatever it is, that's what I want." You know, it's not enough to care. We have to care enough to get involved in the work of God. To be very involved people as well. Nehemiah didn't pray for God to send somebody else to Jerusalem. He didn't tell God how inadequate he was for the job. He didn't tell God that how busy he was with the king, and the king is never going to let me go. And so he didn't have excuse after excuse after excuse to offer up to God. He simply said, I'll commit to your plan For that desire that you placed in my heart, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to commit to it. I'm not going to let anything get in the way. You know, there isn't a shortage of participation among God's people as much as there's a lack of commitment among God's people. You know, we commit to our jobs, do we not? Boss says, be there at 9 a.m. You're there at hopefully a couple of minutes before. And you're committed to that day after day after day, you see. And the spouse says, hey, you know, I need to see you from time to time. Okay. The kids, you know, need to be picked up from school. You don't just say, well, let them walk home. And so, no, you're committed to them as well. You see, we make commitments again and again and again all over the place. Why don't God's people make and keep their commitments to God? Why is that? You know, it's awfully hard to plan and to build and to go forward in the work of the Lord if no one will make a commitment. You know why we don't make commitments? Because we tell ourselves, well, something might come up that I might also want to do instead. So I'm not going to commit to that, but I'll tell you what I'll do. You know, I'm not going to make a commitment. I'll leave it open and we'll see. That's not a commitment to God. A commitment to God means that God comes first. God is foremost. God is priority in my life above anything and everything else. If God put that desire in your heart to serve and to share and to care, then God's going to supply everything that goes with that in your life as well. You can trust Him. It's what Nehemiah says. He's promising God. He's trusting the promises of God because God made those promises there as well. And it applies to our lives as well. The God who's committed to us deserves our commitment. Did it cost Nehemiah to go? Sure it did. He traded the comforts of the palace for calluses. He gave up the rich life for a city in ruins. Does commitment cost? Yes. But when you commit to participating in God's plan, it will be worth it. Moses committed his life to God's plan and delivered Israel out of the hand of Egypt. God used him for that. Esther cared enough to risk her life to save her people out of destruction as well and death. Paul cared enough to sacrifice his life for the gospel to be spread in Rome. Never let us forget the blessings of salvation because Jesus cared enough to participate in God's plan that included him going to the old rugged cross for a lost and dying world of which we are as well. Do you care enough to make a commitment to participate in God's plan for this church, for your life? Are you that committed? Are you that involved in your relationship with God and involved in this place as well? What we need today are members whose eyes are wide open to see the people. Members whose hearts that bleed over the poor condition of God's place. We need souls that call out to God in prayer. People that are determined that they're going to participate in the Lord's plan. Do you care enough to get involved? If God is calling you to get involved in this church, answer His call to get involved. You know, He also asks us to get involved, and it starts with His Son, the Lord Jesus. He says, I sent my Son Jesus for you, died on Calvary's cross for you, so that you can be involved in a relationship with Him. Because He loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sin. Some sin, the Bible says we're all born with this sin nature. Somebody's got to pay that sin debt, and we could never pay it through 1,000 eternities. But Jesus, His shed blood on Calvary's cross, washed my debt clean. All I need to do is to commit my life to Him. Surrender my life over to Him. Let Him take full control of my life and to be my Lord and Savior. Have you done that today? If not, why not today? Why not today? God is still looking for people who care. Will you come and say, yes, Lord, I care enough to get involved in the lives of your people and in the work of this place? Becoming a VIP begins in the heart and it works its way out. You will not become a VIP in the house of God until you're involved with the heart of God as well. That requires you getting into the Word and letting the Word get into you. That involves getting on your knees like Nehemiah as well, crying out to Him as well, trusting God's promises as well. Will you get involved to have a concern for others? Will you get involved to cry over the condition that we find ourselves in at this moment at Marsh Road? Will you get involved to call out to God in prayer for this church? Will you get involved to commit to serving God in this place? Stand with us.